Chapter 119. Behind the wheel of the embassy sedan, Scott Kerbal sped northward along the river, racing back the way he had come. In the opposite direction, a line of rescue vehicles streaked toward Folimanca Park. Nothing left to save, he thought. In his back seat, Langdon and Solomon had fallen into a stunned silence after glimpsing the extent of the devastation they had survived. All that was left of the Folimanca bomb shelter was a gaping hollow several stories deep, filled with a jumble of rocks, earth, shattered concrete, and twisted steel. Kerbal could not imagine what had caused the unusual explosion. As far as he could tell, there had been no fire or heat, only cold. He knew the Soviet-era bomb shelter had been under restoration by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for the past couple of years, and it certainly should not have contained any explosives. "Where are you taking us?" Langdon asked from the back seat. Good question, Kerbal thought. He hadn't quite worked out the big picture, but he knew Ambassador Nagel and CIA Director Judd were locked in a power struggle, and it somehow involved Langdon and Solomon. After the blast, as Kerbal hurried down the ridge, he had phoned Nagel to confirm her safety. She had been on a call with the director. When Kerbal explained that the tremor was not an earthquake but rather an explosion beneath Folimanca Park, Nagel's first words, strangely, had been to inquire about Langdon and Solomon's whereabouts. She ordered Kerbal to head to the scene and search for them. Regardless of what was unfolding between the ambassador and the CIA director, Kerbal had already chosen sides an hour ago, with his snap decision to smuggle Nagel's diplomatic pouch out of the embassy. It was a timely improvisation, as the director had almost immediately ordered a search of the ambassadorial suite along with her closest staff, including Kerbal himself. If I'd kept the pouch, the CIA would have it now. As he drove toward the embassy, in case his sedan was being tracked, Kerbal's instincts told him that delivering Langdon and Solomon into the hands of the CIA director was not what Nagel would want. He also sensed there was a lot he was not being told by the Americans in the back seat. "We need to get out," Langdon declared, his voice surprisingly authoritative, considering the circumstances. "I can't give you details, but trust me when I tell you that your ambassador is in grave danger, especially if the CIA director has detained her." Grave danger? Kerbal was well aware of Gregory Judd's reputation for taking no prisoners when it came to national security. But would he really harm an ambassador? Kerbal considered mentioning the diplomatic pouch that the director had seemed intent on finding, but the ambassador's orders about the pouch had been clear. Tell no one. If the ambassador is going to survive this, physically or politically, Langdon said, I believe there is only one thing left that can help her. I also believe I can find it. Despite the boldness of the claim, Kerbal sensed the man at least believed what he was saying.
What is it you're looking for?
It's not a what, Langdon replied. It's a whom. Kerbal glanced up, locking eyes with the professor in the rearview mirror.
Who is it?
Her name is Sasha Vesna, Langdon said, and everything the ambassador needs to weather this storm is located in Sasha's head. Robert knows how to find Sasha? For a moment, Catherine feared Langdon might be bluffing, but his nod of assurance told her he was speaking in earnest. Finding Sasha is the key to everything. Far more conclusive than the binder Catherine had lost in the blast, Sasha herself was the most irrefutable proof that Threshold had even existed. A single brain scan would prove not only that this advanced implant was real, but also that the CIA had tricked a young Russian psychiatric patient into becoming a medical test subject. Locating Sasha was even more important now, as the destruction of Threshold had made their tenuous situation even more dangerous. The CIA would be in damage control mode, and with all evidence of wrongdoing conveniently buried beneath Folimanca Park, the agency would be moving quickly to tie up all loose ends. Robert and I definitely qualify as unresolved details, she knew. As do Sasha Vesna and Dmitri Sisevich. Catherine pictured the eerily cloaked figure they had seen in Threshold. The man had proclaimed himself Sasha's protector, and was almost certainly Sisevich. The dark-haired Russian epileptic who, like Sasha, had been taken from an institution. His medical records, at first glance, had suggested to Catherine that he had died, but it now appeared something else had happened to him. Perhaps he had escaped their grasp. Whatever his situation, nobody more than Dmitri possessed the motivation to return and obliterate the facility that had subjected him to untold horrors. Mental illness, Catherine suspected, was almost certainly involved. The man smeared himself with clay and sacrificed his life to destroy Threshold. She wondered if Dmitri had a pre-existing psychological condition in the institution, or whether it had been caused by the trauma of invasive brain surgery and forced psychedelic drug use. Either way, Dmitri Sisevich was clearly not a well man. "Sasha is somewhere safe," the man had said. "Robert," Catherine urged, "you really know where to find Sasha?"
"I just figured it out," he replied. "There's only one place she could be, but in order to find her, I need to get into her apartment." "She's not there," Kerbal interrupted. "I was the one who found Harris's body. Sasha was long gone. Our team quickly retrieved Harris, locked up, and left."
"I understand," Langdon said, "but I still need to get inside. There's something there that can help us. How did you gain access to her apartment?"
"My colleague, Donna Danyek, she had a key."
"On a crazy kitten keyring?" Langdon asked. Kerbal glanced over his shoulder.
"How did you know that?"
"Because I'm the one who gave it to Ms. Danyek, and now I need it back from her immediately."
"That's impossible," Kerbal said. "Donna no longer has it."
Langdon cursed under his breath.
"Who has it now?"
Kerbal reached into his pocket and tossed a small object back to Langdon.
"You do, Professor." A massive explosion in Prague?
Jonas Falkman frantically skimmed the New York Times alert on his computer and tried to convince himself that the blast was just a coincidence. Despite the statistical improbability that Langdon had been anywhere near the blast, his friend had a disconcerting habit of finding himself at the epicenter of trouble. More than an hour had passed since Langdon's email, and there had been no word since then. Unable to push the mounting concern from his mind, Falkman dialed the Four Seasons Hotel in Prague and asked to be put through to Langdon's room.
Trudging through total darkness in the enclosed tunnel, the golem heard a sudden change in the reverberant sound of his footsteps.
"Less echo. I'm in an open space."
Running his hand up the wall, he found a ledge and realized to his relief that he had finally reached the tram platform beneath Crucifix Bastion. The ledge was at eye level, higher than anticipated, and he would need to hoist himself up. He quickly shed his heavy cape and platform boots, arranging them in a pile at his feet. Then he stepped onto his makeshift stool, reached up, and felt the ledge, gauging its height. He would need to jump high enough to brace his elbows and forearms on the platform.
"You must escape. Sasha's life depends on it."
Fueled by the thought of her, the golem crouched low and leaped with all his strength, barely managing to prop himself up. Kicking his weary legs, he was able to swing one upward and hook his heel on the ledge. Fighting gravity and exhaustion, he dragged himself onto the metal platform and collapsed. For nearly a full minute he rested, eyes closed, breathing deeply. When he finally opened his eyes, the golem saw something hovering in the darkness. A tiny, glowing circle.
A light at the end of the tunnel.
It was the illuminated button for the Crucifix Bastion elevator.